Paul Mick says that you were bang on with your diagnosis of general malaise. Wondering where he is on that spectrum for you right now.
He's still in gold, so until he gets out of that, but he's skating, so we think he's pretty close to being out of that sweater and a full-time player.
I'm assuming you'll watch that game tonight. I guess it's probably part of the job description.
That's a good assumption.
what are you looking for in that game tonight, other than a winner and a potential showdown with Nashville?
All the standard pre-scouts things that you do. You just have two teams that you're doing it for, so we've been tracking the next opponent right from the start, and we'll just watch it, but we've got most of the video on both teams done. You know, so you're looking for aberrations and certainly looking to enjoy a hockey game.
Is it an extra credit assignment for your players to be watching a game like that tonight, or do you mind if they check out?
Everybody has their own routine. There's some guys that watch hockey every single night and stay real in tune, and some guys don't need it to prepare. So, no, there's no quiz tomorrow.
Coach, what's it like getting ready for a practice day today where you don't know who you're playing yet?
Well, it's far enough out that we wouldn't spend a whole lot of time running drills, you know, kind of prepping for what we expect to see, because we had an off day today. It was all about getting the hands and feet back up to speed. We're still mindful of using the rest and the recovery, maybe is a better word for anybody that's got minor injuries, but we had a big crew out there today, so everybody was feeling pretty good.
Patrick wasn't able to finish practice. Paul, is there any concern?
No, I'm not concerned, no.
Paul, Toby Enstrom joined the group. I know he skated, I guess, on his own earlier, but is that another good sign towards his...
Well, good sign, but also if you watch the practice, he doesn't look like he's missed a day. But that's Toby. He's dealt with injuries his whole career and come back on short notice and been very good. He looked it today. Look, hopefully we get him out of that sweater along with Nikki and get him into the right color.
Is Dmitry Kulikov skating on his own yet or
no? No, he's not.
Paul, when you came here at first, it was obvious that this team was going with a draft and develop method to build this team. Did you see it right from the beginning that it looked like something that was going to be really successful? Or is it successful?
Get early confidence, maybe going right to the first development camp where you started to have your draft picks come in. And I'd said before, you'd step on the ice and you'd know why the player was drafted. You didn't know if he was going to play in the NHL, but you saw the specific thing that our scouting staff identified as a potential player in the NHL. And that's rare. And so you knew right away there were going to be good players coming. You don't know that you're going to get a Patty Laine. That would be, that was a gift. So, but all of those others. You knew, though, like when you first time here, the kids at that point were Scheif and Trouba and Lowry, and those were the guys that you could really see some potential to go into, you know, developing into driving. And it took, you know, so it's 3 years before they get to the point that you don't consider them kids anymore, that they do change the game and the way the game's played. So right from the start, you knew that there were good young players here to build on.
Paul, just in the last 48 hours, Pittsburgh, Nashville, Boston, we're in the exact same position as you guys, up 3-1, chance to close it out at home, and didn't. Does that maybe put what you guys did Friday night in another perspective, just to show how difficult it can be to close out a series?
Well, we certainly knew that. These are very hotly contested, and even when the score at the end tells you that the game wasn't, you know, there's at 2-0, Hellebuck makes two saves that keep it there, and it's 4-0, and we say, well, maybe with 5-0 tells you it was an easy game, but none of them are, right? A puck inside the post or outside the post does change the momentum, and there's potential for a lot of swings in the games, but we were strong enough in the first and the third period to deserve the win.
What's the value in closing out a team in five games and having that extra time?
Recovery, more than rest. Right. It's not about rest so much, because when you look at it, even 2 7-game series over a course of the month is almost less hockey than you're normally playing. It's certainly less travel than you're used to, but recovery, because the games are played at such a high intensity, there are always the bumps and bruises and then some that you see in the regular season. So having a few days that you can keep people off the ice, that you can get a little bit more treatment, I think it bumps ahead your ability to get back to full goal.
Given the kind of year Steve Mason has had with all the injuries, how important has it been to have good goaltender depth there as well, and Michael Hutchinson in particular?
Right, we'll have used four through the regular season. The key to all of it actually was the healthy guy, right? Having Connor be as solid and consistent he was. We got good games out of all of them. They came in, Eric Comrie included, came in and won us hockey games when we needed to give Connor that break. So they've all had an impact on our year.
Paul, you guys have put a big emphasis on playing fast and team speed. Why is that so important for this team's success?
You have to look at what you're good at first and foremost when you're, you know, defining how you're going to play. We have a number of players that are fast, and the ones that aren't fast can play quick. All of that, though, not just foot speed. We've got some skill here that can play it, can make those plays at a high rate of speed. It's what Blake Wheeler does so well with all his assists. He can find that play moving quickly. So it's our strength. It's the kind of how we define our game. The last game, we were very fast at the start and not in the second, and you can see the difference. And for whether it's the flight or the day that we had going into game three, we weren't fast. We got beat bad. So you have to do what you're good at every night in the playoffs to expect to win.
Paul, your defense and your goaltending have been obviously a significant part of your success in the playoffs. What did you see from Connor Hellebuyck in rebounding from game three with the shutouts in 4 and 5?
They go together. They're absolutely married together. So the entire team wasn't right in game three, our back end included. And it would have been very difficult for Connor to have a different result with what we had going on in front of him. But he looked like the rest of us, too. We were a step behind it. There wasn't any real concern that he wasn't going to bounce back the next game because we felt our whole team would. But he's been like that all year. And it was usually the same kind of games. You think of Columbus at home, Chicago at home, St. Louis. All of those games, the whole group looked slowed, but really rebounded and played well for a stretch right after that.
He talks about trust and then some of those unspoken cues with his defense, especially in those loud environments. Do you see that from the bench?
It's required for a defenseman to have that nonverbal communication with the goaltender and understanding of where they're going to move on certain plays. Experience is the best teacher for all of that. He's started to play, you know, a big number of games this year, but last year as well. You start to learn what the men in front of you are going to do. And maybe our injuries over the last 2 years have helped us. He's seen different players, and he's got to know all of them. But that, because it happens so fast, being in the net enough reps to understand what your defensemen are most likely to do, where the play is going to flow, helps a goaltender, a really critical piece to them reading the game.
Statistically, in playoffs, home ice advantage maybe isn't the same as it is during the regular season, but you guys have won 12 in a row at home, all three in the first round. Do you feel like you have a true home ice advantage here?
I think every playoff team would feel that. You step out on the ice, you get something close to the net, and the crowd is buzzing, and the opposite is true on the road. We have a special environment here for sure. I had thought for a long time, you know, the first couple of years here, you get asked about the loudest game. For me, that would have been game three in the final in Carolina. It was the loudest building I'd been in. But that last game was the loudest building I'd been in. It took about 2 hours after you got home before you could turn the volume down on your TV just to hear it. Like it had an impact. It's a really intense environment, and it's a huge advantage for us.
You said you knew that Connor and the rest of the team were going to bounce back after that game three. Seems like a bit of a luxury, to be honest, to be so confident and know that. Why?
Well, it was how it happened more than anything else. I'd seen it before during the year when we had an off night. We didn't walk away from a lot of games thinking one or two players' poor night was the reason for the loss. When we had an off night, it was as a group. And you know, you knew going into that game, you were hopeful, right, that something could go your way to get a positive feeling that you'd squeak one out in that game, but you could feel it. I mean, everybody, you're not used to that routine. We were slow as a group, so I knew we would be a better rested team and a better scheduled team going into that feel right that we would play better.
Paul, when you were really quite quick, I found one of the things that gave Minnesota fits was an aggressive blue line on the forecheck. And you had the confidence, I suppose, that the forwards would come back with speed to cover. Is that kind of aggressive, high-speed forecheck likely in your mind to work against very fast teams in Nashville or Colorado?
The foundation of our defensive game is a hard gap so that we don't sag and give players ice to play on. The only way that works, if you're going to ask your defensemen to hold the line and be aggressive there, they have to have coverage coming back and they have to have the forwards in behind them. If you're hopeful, if you're chasing a game, your forwards have a tendency to hang in a little lower, hope the D keeps it in and you can keep that pressure on. But we've got a real nice balance. Our forwards know we want our D holding the line at the right time. And they have a responsibility to make sure if something bad happens, puck bounces over a stick, shot gets blocked, that it's not a clean odd man after it.